Hello everyone, I'm delighted to be here today to continue our discussion on cryptocurrency regulation. Today's webinar is the second of a series of webinars on crypto regulation with specific reference to the Hong Kong regulatory regime for cryptocurrency. In today's webinar, I'll be continuing the discussion of virtual asset regulation, starting with the progress made by jurisdictions in implementing the FATF recommendations. We'll then transition into a discussion of Hong Kong's regulatory regime, looking at the SFC's regulation of managers and distributors of funds investing in virtual assets, and the latest circular from the SFC and HKMA on the requirements for intermediaries distributing virtual asset-related products and/or providing virtual asset dealing or advisory services. So let's start by looking a little further at the progress that's been made in implementing the revised FATF recommendations. First, to recap, FATF Recommendation 15 and its interpretive note, R15, require virtual asset service providers, VASPs, to be regulated for anti-money laundering and counter-terrorist financing, referred to as AML and CFT. Purposes in the same way as traditional financial institutions. They also require VASPs to be subject to a licensing or registration regime and subject to effective supervision. FATF Recommendation 16 is the so-called travel rule, which applied initially to wire transfers and required financial institutions facilitating transfers to exchange information regarding the originator and beneficiary of the transfer. FATF extended it in 2019 to apply to transfers of virtual assets and now requires financial institutions, VASPs, and other obliged entities to collect, share, and retain identifying information about the originator and beneficiary. According to a survey conducted by FATF in March 2022, 43% of the 98 responding jurisdictions had introduced a licensing or registration regime for VASPs, as required by Recommendation 15. As regards progress in implementing the travel rule, the same survey found that 29 out of 98 responding jurisdictions had enacted travel rule legislation, but only 11 jurisdictions had started enforcing and supervising travel rule compliance. While around a quarter of responding jurisdictions were then in the process of enacting the relevant legislation, around one-third had not yet proposed any travel rule legislation. Turning now to Hong Kong's crypto regulation and the progress that Hong Kong has made in relation to the FATF recommendations. Hong Kong regulated entities conducting activities in cryptocurrencies, where the relevant cryptocurrencies are securities or futures contracts, as defined in Hong Kong Securities and Futures Ordinance. Intermediaries conducting regulated activities in relation to cryptocurrencies that are securities or futures contracts are required to be licensed or registered with Hong Kong's SFC and must comply with the AML and CFT requirements of Hong Kong's Anti-Money Laundering and Counter-Terrorist Financing Ordinance, the AMLO. However, the vast majority of crypto, such as Bitcoin, falls outside the statutory definition of securities and futures contracts in Hong Kong. Nor are cryptocurrencies regulated by Hong Kong's other financial regulators. The HKMA has said that it does not regulate crypto, such as Bitcoin, which it regards as a virtual commodity and not as legal tender or a means of payment or money. Hong Kong's banking laws and regulations therefore do not apply to entities accepting or dealing in cryptocurrency. The Money Service Supervision Bureau of the Customs and Excise Department has also said that Bitcoin and other similar virtual commodities are not money for the purposes of the AMLO and are thus outside the scope of its regulatory regime for money service operators. Since cryptocurrencies appeared on the regulatory radar in 2017, first in the form of initial coin offerings or ICOs and then crypto trading exchanges, it's the SFC which has taken the regulatory initiative in Hong Kong. However, since its statutory authority is restricted to entities conducting business in the very limited category of cryptocurrencies which are securities or futures under the SFO, the SFC had to find a way of extending that authority. As I'll discuss in more detail later in this webinar, it did this firstly by imposing licensing conditions on managers of funds and investment portfolios which invest at least 10% of their gross asset value in virtual assets that are not securities or futures contracts, where the firm is already required to be licensed for regulated activity type 9, which is asset management, because it already manages portfolios of securities and or futures contracts, and on distributors of virtual asset funds, which are required to be licensed under regulated activity type 1, dealing in securities. Secondly, I'll discuss in a further webinar that the SFC has adopted a regulatory regime for virtual asset trading platforms, which provides that if a platform provides for trading in at least one virtual asset which is within the legal definition of a security, the SFC's regulation will apply to all other virtual assets traded on that platform that are not securities. The limitation of this virtual asset trading regime is that it is opt-in, in the sense that it allows crypto exchanges to remain outside the scope of SFC regulation by only trading cryptocurrencies that are not securities or futures contracts. However, as I'll discuss in the next webinar, a new licensing regime for virtual asset service providers is due to come into effect on the 1st of March 2023 under proposed amendments to the AMLO, which were introduced to Hong Kong's Legislative Council on the 6th of July 2022. The proposed amendments are set out in the Anti-Money Laundering and Counter-Terrorist Financing Amendment Bill 2022. The legislative amendments are aimed at implementing the requirements of FATF Recommendation 15 that VASPs are subject to the same AML-CTF obligations as financial institutions and to a statutory licensing or registration regime. They will also implement the travel rule requirements of Recommendation 16. As I'll discuss in detail in the next webinar, any person carrying on a business of providing a virtual asset service in Hong Kong or holding themselves out as doing so will need to be licensed as a VASP by the SFC. The only activity currently defined as providing a virtual asset service is operating a virtual asset exchange. Any person operating a virtual asset exchange in Hong Kong will need to apply for a license or cease operations in Hong Kong. The broad definition of virtual assets will mean that once the new licensing regime takes effect, all centralized crypto trading platforms in Hong Kong will need to be licensed either under the AMLO or under the existing opt-in regime under the SFO. Since it only covers virtual asset exchanges, Hong Kong's VASP licensing regime is narrower than that proposed by the FATF. As we saw in the previous webinar, FATF's definition of VASPs covers entities providing five types of virtual asset-related activities, including providing safekeeping and or administrative services for virtual assets or instruments enabling control over virtual assets, which would include certain wallet providers, and providing financial services related to the offer or sale of virtual assets, for example, ICOs. According to the FSTB's original consultation, the AMLO regime will initially only apply to the five activities where they're provided by virtual asset exchanges, which are the most prevalent type of crypto-related business in Hong Kong. There are apparently relatively few businesses conducting virtual asset payment or custodian business as standalone businesses, and the FSTB therefore does not propose to license them at this stage, but will keep the situation under review and may expand the activities covered by the AMLO licensing regime in future. Licensed VASPs will be subject to the AML and CTF requirements of the AMLO, including the customer due diligence and record keeping requirements set out in Schedule 2 of the AMLO. They will also have to comply with a stringent set of requirements which the SFC will impose as license conditions. It's also proposed that licensed VASPs, like virtual asset trading platforms licensed under the SFO, will only be allowed to provide services to professional investors, at least during the initial stage of the licensing regime. In this sense, the Hong Kong regime is more stringent than the FATF recommendations. Recently, the SFC and HKMA issued a joint circular on intermediaries' virtual asset-related activities in January 2022. This sets out guidance for intermediaries, that's SFC licensed corporations or registered institutions that distribute virtual asset related products, including virtual asset funds, or want to provide virtual asset dealing or advisory services for their clients. So So I'll now take a detailed look at how the SFC has brought virtual asset portfolio managers within the regulatory net. Managing funds or discretionary investment portfolios that invest solely in virtual assets that do not constitute securities or futures contracts is not a regulated activity under the SFO. In November 2018, the SFC published a regulatory framework to bring within its regulatory scope managers of portfolios which invest in virtual assets that are not securities or futures contracts, which I'll refer to as non-SF virtual assets. For these purposes, portfolio managers include both fund managers and managers of discretionary accounts in the form of an investment mandate or a predefined model portfolio. The SFC regulates these portfolio managers by imposing additional licensing conditions on two types of firms. The first type of firms which are or are applying to be licensed as asset managers because they manage portfolios of traditional securities or futures contracts and also manage or plan to manage portfolios investing solely or partly in virtual assets. The licensing requirement already applies to these firms because of their management of traditional securities and or futures contracts. The imposition of the additional licensing conditions extends the SFC's oversight to the firm's management of virtual assets. The second type are firms which manage funds which only invest in non-SF virtual assets and distribute the same in Hong Kong. These firms are not required to be licensed as asset managers since the management of a fund which does not invest in securities or futures contracts falls outside the definition of asset management. However, a firm that distributes this type of fund in Hong Kong has to be licensed as a securities dealer. That's type 1 regulated activity dealing in securities. This is because a fund constitutes a collective investment scheme, which is within the SFO's definition of securities, irrespective of the type of asset which the fund invests in. In these cases, the SFC will impose the additional licensing conditions for virtual asset fund managers on the firm's securities dealer license. The licensing conditions that will apply are the pro forma terms and conditions for licensed corporations which manage portfolios that invest in virtual assets, which were issued by the SFC in October 2019. The additional licensing conditions are subject to a de minimis provision. They apply to a licensed intermediary which manages or plans to manage funds or investment portfolios which have a stated investment objective to invest in virtual assets or intend to invest 10% or more of the gross asset value of the fund or portfolio in virtual assets. Virtual assets are defined broadly as digital representations of value which may be in the form of digital tokens, such as digital currencies, utility tokens, or security or asset-backed tokens. Any other virtual commodities, crypto assets, or assets of essentially the same nature, irrespective of whether they are securities or futures contracts under the SFO. The licensing conditions do not, however, apply to licensed corporations which only manage funds or investment portfolios investing in virtual asset funds, i.e. funds of funds, or licensed corporations managing funds or portfolios whose mandate is to invest mainly in securities and or futures contracts and their investment in virtual assets exceeds 10% of GAV because of an increase in the prices of the virtual assets held in one or more of the portfolios. The licensed corporation is required to take all reasonable steps to reduce the investment in virtual assets below the 10% of GAV threshold. If, however, the position is expected to continue, i.e. virtual assets will continue to exceed 10% of the GAV of any fund or portfolio, the licensed corporation must alert the SFC, which will consider imposing licensing conditions. Licensed applicants are required to notify the SFC if they currently manage or plan to manage one or more funds or portfolios that invest in cryptocurrencies or intend to hold cryptocurrencies on behalf of funds under their management. The notification requirement applies even if the fund intends to invest less than 10% of the portfolio's GAV in cryptocurrencies and whether or not the cryptocurrencies involved are securities or futures contracts. Failure to inform the SFC may constitute a breach of the securities and futures licensing and registration information rules. On being informed that a firm is managing or plans to manage virtual asset portfolios, the SFC will send the standard licensing conditions to the firm, and these may be varied following discussions with the firm according to its particular business model. A new license applicant will have to agree to the licensing conditions proposed, or its licensing application will be rejected. Licensed corporations which do not agree to comply with the licensing conditions will be prohibited from managing virtual asset portfolios. In October 2019, the SFC published pro forma terms and conditions that it imposes on licensed corporations that manage funds or discretionary accounts which invest in virtual assets, which I will refer to as virtual asset fund managers. These replace the terms and conditions set out in the SFC's November 2018 regulatory framework. The terms and conditions are similar to those contained in the SFC's Fund Manager Code of Conduct and the Code of Conduct for persons licensed by or registered with the SFC as adapted to apply to virtual assets. The conditions are onerous and include certain principal obligations. Firstly, restricted to professional investors. Investors of a fund with a stated investment objective of investing in crypto or which intends to invest 10% or more of its GAV, gross asset value, in cryptocurrency are restricted to professional investors as defined in the SFO, including high net worth investors under the Securities and Futures Professional Investor Rules. This is the case unless the SFC has authorized the fund for retail distribution under Section 104 of the SFO. If a virtual asset fund is to be distributed through distributors, the fund manager must put in place measures to ensure that the fund is only distributed to professional investors. Secondly, safeguarding of assets. Despite the SFC acknowledging that crypto funds face, quote, a unique challenge due to the limited availability of qualified custodian solutions, unquote, the SFC has imposed onerous obligations on licensed virtual asset fund managers in relation to custodians. A virtual asset fund manager is required to select the most appropriate custodial arrangement for holding its virtual assets. In doing so, it's required to assess the advantages and disadvantages of the various custody options, such as whether to hold the assets itself or with a third-party custodian, different host locations, and the use of hot or cold wallets, considering, among other things, the ease of accessibility to cryptocurrency and the security of the custodial facility. The fund manager must document the reasons for selecting the chosen custodial arrangement. Where cryptocurrencies are held by the licensed fund manager itself, the fund manager must ensure that they are identified as being beneficially owned by the fund through proper record keeping and arrangements to segregate them from the fund manager's own assets on insolvency. For example, by declaring a trust over the fund's crypto wallet and assets held in the wallet. The fund manager is also required to use reasonable endeavors to acquire and maintain insurance cover over cryptocurrencies held in self-custody. When an independent custodian is selected, virtual asset fund managers are required to exercise due skill, care, and diligence in selecting, appointing, and conducting ongoing monitoring of the custodian by reference to factors such as the custodian's experience and track record period in providing custodial services for cryptocurrencies, regulatory status, particularly whether its cryptocurrency custodial business is subject to regulatory oversight, corporate governance structure, and the background of its senior management, financial resources and insurance cover for compensating customers for loss of customer assets, and operational capabilities and arrangements, for example, its wallet arrangements and cybersecurity risk management measures. The licensing conditions recommend appointing more than one custodian to avoid excessive concentration of risks. They also require fund managers to disclose the custodial arrangements and the risks of those arrangements to fund investors. Managers of virtual asset funds are required to regularly value the cryptocurrencies under their management. The frequency of valuation should be appropriate to cryptocurrencies and the dealing frequencies of the relevant funds. Virtual asset fund managers are required to disclose to fund investors the frequency of valuation and dealing the basis of valuation, including the valuation principles, policies, methodologies, and models. Where the fund manager appoints a third-party valuer, it must ensure that the valuer has the required experience and expertise in valuing virtual assets. Fund managers are also responsible for ensuring that valuation principles, methodologies, models, and policies are reasonably appropriate in the circumstances and in the best interests of the fund and fund investors. These also need to be reviewed at least annually by a competent party who is independent of the person making investment decisions for the funds to ensure that they continue to be appropriate and are implemented effectively. The licensing conditions contain detailed risk management requirements for virtual asset fund managers. Their risk management policy should set for each fund a system for monitoring and controlling the relevant risks. The fund manager should, for example, set position limits for each product or market the fund invests in. They should, for example, consider setting a cap on the fund's investment in illiquid or hard-to-value crypto and its exposure to counterparties. Appendix 2 to the pro forma terms and conditions sets out the risk management control techniques and procedures which should be adopted. These include conducting periodic stress testing to assess the effect of abnormal and significant changes in market conditions on the fund. Fund managers are also expected to have in place an effective credit assessment system to evaluate the creditworthiness of fund counterparties. Before transacting with a crypto exchange, for example, a virtual asset fund manager is required to assess its creditworthiness, taking into account matters such as its experience and track record, legal or regulatory status, corporate governance structure and background of its senior management, operational capabilities, mechanisms, for example, surveillance systems, implemented to guard against fraud and market misconduct with respect to products traded on the exchange, cyber security risk management measures and financial resources and insurance cover. Exposure to individual fund counterparties, including crypto exchanges, should be limited by setting appropriate caps. The licensing conditions require the appointment of an independent auditor to audit the financial statements of managed funds and prepare annual reports. Virtual asset fund managers are required to consider auditors' experience and capability in auditing financial statements of virtual asset funds. The fund manager is required to understand the steps taken by the auditor in proving the existence and ownership of the virtual assets and ascertaining the reasonableness of their valuation, and will need to make this information available to fund investors on request. A licensed fund manager which holds cryptocurrencies on behalf of the fund it manages is required to maintain liquid capital equal to the higher of $3 million Hong Kong dollars and the amount of its variable required liquid capital. Virtual asset fund managers are required to disclose sufficient information for fund investors to make an informed decision about investing in the funds they manage. That information includes, but is not limited to, a list of trading platforms and custodians which the fund uses and the key risks associated with the fund's investment in virtual assets. Examples of these risks are given in Appendix 3 to the terms and conditions and include price volatility, the lack of secondary markets for certain virtual assets, and cybersecurity and technology-related risks. Virtual asset fund managers are required to take reasonable measures to ensure that safeguards are in place to mitigate the risks of money laundering and terrorist financing, particularly where fund investors use virtual assets to subscribe. They're required to comply with the SFC's guideline on anti-money laundering and counter-financing for terrorism for licensed corporations, even where the funds under their management invest in virtual assets that are not securities or futures contracts. It's also a licensing condition that the virtual asset fund manager should establish and implement effective policies and procedures to prohibit and prevent market misconduct. Appendix 1 to the pro forma terms and conditions sets out additional requirements that apply to virtual asset fund managers managing discretionary accounts and the requirements that do not apply to them. The additional requirements include requirements on ensuring the suitability of investment mandates and predefined model investment portfolios for particular clients, and the minimum content of discretionary client agreements. In particular, managers of virtual asset discretionary accounts are only permitted to provide services to professional investors. To date, around six fund management firms have managed to meet the SFC's own risk standards for licensing. Bletchley Park Asset Management Hong Kong Limited was among the first SFC licensed corporations allowed to act as a discretionary manager of its own digital assets fund. VentureSmart Asia Limited was, however, the first fund manager approved by the SFC under the pro forma terms and conditions, which allows it to hold up to 100% of its assets in virtual assets. VentureSmart Asia is also licensed for regulated activities types 1 and 4, and the firm acted as advisor to and distributor of the Bitcoin Tracking Fund, launched by the firm's blockchain arm, Arano Capital, in April 2020. Other examples of SFC-licensed virtual asset fund managers include My Capital Limited, Huobi Asset Management Hong Kong Limited, Axion Global Asset Management Limited, and more recently, Four Elite Capital Management Limited. A fund manager which only manages funds investing in crypto that are not securities or futures contracts doesn't need to be licensed for Type 9, as I've already mentioned. This is because asset management is defined in the SFO as the management of securities or futures contracts. Managing a fund investing only in crypto, which are not securities, is therefore not asset management within the SFO and doesn't require a Type 9 license. However, the distribution of a fund will require the distributor, whether that is the fund manager or a third-party distributor, to be licensed for Type 9, dealing in securities. A fund is a collective investment scheme, which is within the SFO's definition of securities, irrespective of the type of asset the fund invests in. A Type 9 licensed asset manager, which also distributes the funds it manages, can rely on the incidental exemption from the Type 1 licensing requirement. Firms distributing virtual asset funds, whether as fund managers under an asset management license or fund distributors under a securities dealer license, are required to comply with the SFC's regulatory framework for licensed corporations, including its Code of Conduct for persons licensed by or registered with the SFC, the Code of Conduct, including, among other things, KYC obligations and an obligation to ensure the suitability of product recommendations and solicitations for particular clients. On the 1st of November 2018, the SFC published a circular to licensed and registered intermediaries involved in the distribution of virtual asset funds. Those requirements have now been superseded by the requirements for licensed and registered intermediaries engaged in the distribution of virtual asset-related products set out in the Joint Circular on Intermediaries Virtual Asset-Related Activities, published by the SFC and HKMA on the 20th of January 2022. In particular, Appendix 4 to the Joint Circular sets out the additional due diligence that intermediaries are required to conduct on virtual asset funds that have not been authorised by the SFC. Turning now to the Joint Circular, this provides guidance for licensed and registered intermediaries which distribute virtual asset-related products, and also for intermediaries wanting to provide virtual asset dealing and advisory services to their clients. The Joint Circular uses the same definition of virtual assets used in the 2019 pro forma terms and conditions for licensed corporations which manage portfolios that invest in virtual assets, except that the Joint Circular's definition specifically includes stablecoins and excludes digital representations of fiat currencies issued by central banks, that is, CBDCs. Virtual asset-related products are defined in the Joint Circular as investment products which have a principal objective or strategy to invest in virtual assets, derive their value principally from the value and characteristics of virtual assets, or track or replicate the investment results or returns which closely match or correspond to virtual assets. The SFC-HKMA Joint Circular notes that since retail investors are unlikely to understand the risks associated with virtual asset-related products, they are very likely to be regarded as complex products. Appendix 3 to the Joint Circular sets out a flowchart showing factors for assessing whether a virtual asset-related product constitutes a complex product. Where virtual asset related products are considered to be complex products, licensed intermediaries are required to comply with the SFC's requirements governing the sale of complex products as set out in paragraph 5.5 of the SFC's Code of Conduct and chapter 6 of its Guidelines on Online Distribution and Advisory Platforms. Those requirements apply irrespective of whether or not the intermediary solicited or recommended the sale. The requirements that must be complied with for virtual asset-related products considered to be complex products under paragraph 5.5 of the Code of Conduct include an obligation to ensure that the virtual asset-related product is reasonably suitable for relevant clients. In determining suitability, the intermediary is required to ensure that the aggregate amount to be invested by a client in virtual asset-related products is reasonable, given the client's net worth. The other obligations relating to complex products include an obligation to provide clients with sufficient information on the nature, feature, and risks of a complex product to allow them to understand it before investing in it, and warning statements. The Joint Circular also imposes additional investor protection measures which apply to distributors of virtual asset-related products, including virtual asset-related non-derivative products which trade on conventional exchanges overseas, such as virtual asset exchange-traded funds and exchange-traded products. These aim to address specific risks associated with virtual asset-related products. First, with the exception of virtual asset-related derivative products traded on specified exchanges, virtual asset-related products which are complex products, such as overseas virtual asset non-derivative ETFs, can only be offered to professional investors. Secondly, intermediaries are required to assess clients' knowledge of investing in virtual assets or virtual asset-related products before conducting transactions in virtual asset-related products on their behalf, except where the client is an institutional professional investor or a qualified corporate professional investor as defined in the SFC Code of Conduct. An intermediary can only effect a transaction for a client without the required knowledge if this would be in the best interest of the client and the intermediary has provided training to the client on the nature and risks of virtual assets. Appendix 1 to the Joint Circular contains non-exhaustive criteria for assessing whether a client can be regarded as having knowledge of virtual assets. These allow intermediaries to take into account their client's prior trading experience or work experience in virtual assets or virtual asset-related products and training or courses they have taken on virtual assets or virtual asset-related products. The knowledge assessment can be conducted on a one-off basis before entering into the transaction in a virtual asset-related product. Clients can be regarded as having knowledge of virtual assets if they have executed 5 or more transactions in any virtual asset or virtual asset-related product in the previous 3 years. A particularly difficult obligation on intermediaries is the requirement that they must ensure that clients have sufficient net worth to assume the risks and bear the potential losses of trading virtual asset-related products. This circular also reminds intermediaries to comply with the selling restrictions in Hong Kong and other jurisdictions which may apply to a particular virtual asset-related product. Intermediaries are required to comply with Part 4 of the SFO, which prohibits the offering to the Hong Kong public of investment products that have not been authorised by the SFC. Intermediaries also need to be aware of the selling restrictions specific to particular jurisdictions, exchanges, or products that may prevent a virtual asset-related product from being offered to retail investors. Where virtual asset-related products are distributed on an online platform, it must be properly designed and have appropriate access rights and controls to ensure compliance with relevant selling restrictions. Intermediaries are also required to comply with the suitability obligations as supplemented by the SFC's suitability FAQs and FAQs on triggering the suitability obligations, including their requirements to ensure that any recommendations or solicitations made are suitable for clients in all the circumstances. Intermediaries are expected to diligently assess whether the nature and features of virtual asset-related products, including the effects of gearing and the risks of the underlying virtual assets, or suitable for the client and or in the client's best interests, taking into account the client's risk tolerance and financial situation. The joint circular requires intermediaries to conduct due diligence on virtual asset-related products, which should cover their risks and features, particularly the inherent high-risk nature of the underlying virtual assets, the targeted investors, including applicable selling restrictions, and the product's regulatory status. The due diligence required to be conducted by distributors of unauthorized virtual asset funds previously set out in the SFC's November 2018 Circular to Intermediaries Distribution of Virtual Asset Funds is now set out in Appendix 4 to the SFC HKMA Joint Circular. Intermediaries distributing virtual asset funds that have not been authorized by the SFC for retail offering are required to conduct due diligence on virtual asset funds, their fund managers, and the parties providing trading and custodian services for the funds. The due diligence should include scrutiny of funds' constitutional documents, completion of a due diligence questionnaire, and making inquiries of fund managers to obtain an in-depth understanding of the matters set out in the circular. In relation to the fund manager, a licensed distributor is expected to make inquiries in relation to the fund manager's background and relevant experience and the track record of its senior management, including its chief investment, operation, risk and technology officers. Due diligence is also expected to be carried out with respect to the fund manager's regulatory status, compliance history and its internal controls and systems. Due diligence on systems and controls should cover, for example, the existence of proper segregation of key functions, such as portfolio management, risk management, valuation and custody of assets, or of adequate compensating controls to prevent abuse. Who has authority to transfer assets from the fund, the persons responsible for and the procedures for reconciling transactions and positions, including the frequency of reconciliations, and the methodology and the persons responsible for determining the pricing and assessment of the reasonableness of the determined price of cryptocurrency. Intermediaries are also expected to perform due diligence on fund managers' IT systems, including their security and the management of access, and their risk management procedures, including concentration limits, counterparty risk management procedures, stop-loss arrangements, and stress testing. Fund managers' liquidity risk management policy and their risk management policy for other risks associated with virtual asset fund management, for example, hacking or other technology-related risks, and their disaster recovery plan are also expected to be included in intermediaries' due diligence of fund managers. In terms of the due diligence the SFC expects licensed intermediaries to conduct on funds they propose to distribute, this should cover the fund's targeted investors, the instruments the fund intends to trade in or invest in, and any limits on the size of its holding of ICO tokens and other illiquid or hard-to-value instruments, and the fund's valuation policy, especially for illiquid or hard-to-value instruments. Other matters on which due diligence is required include the custody arrangement for the fund assets, including the policy for allocating assets to be kept at different host locations, such as exchanges, custodians, hot storage and cold storage, the fund's use of leverage and derivatives, the fund's targeted risk and return per annum, the fund's key risks by reference to the information for clients section of Appendix 5 to the Joint Circular, the fund's auditors and audited financial statements, including whether the fund received a qualified audit opinion in the past and whether the audited statements are up to date and the exchanges on which the fund is traded. Intermediaries distributing virtual asset funds are also expected to conduct due diligence on fund counterparties, which should cover their legal and regulatory status. That's whether they're regulated by any authorities to undertake custody business or trade in virtual assets, their experience and track record in dealing with virtual assets, the robustness of their IT systems, including cybersecurity risk management measures and contingency plans, and their financial soundness and insurance coverage, for example, whether they have insurance to cover losses of customer assets. For licensed fund managers, which both manage and distribute virtual asset funds, the requirements should not prove problematic, particularly where they provide custody for the virtual assets themselves. The requirements are likely to be much more problematic for Type 1 licensed fund distributors, where the extent of due diligence they're required to perform on third-party funds, their fund managers and custody arrangements may not be practical. Intermediaries distributing virtual asset-related products are required to provide clients with information on virtual asset-related products and the underlying virtual asset investments. Intermediaries should also provide warning statements specific to virtual asset-related products to clients. These can be disclosed on a one-off basis. Examples of warning statements are set out in Appendix 5 to the Joint Circular and include specific warning statements for virtual asset futures contracts. Intermediaries are required to exercise caution in providing any financial accommodation to clients for investing in virtual asset-related products. An intermediary which provides financial accommodation to a client should satisfy itself that the client has the financial capacity to meet obligations arising from leveraged or margin trading in virtual asset-related products, including in a worst-case scenario. Intermediaries distributing virtual asset-related derivative products are required to ensure compliance with paragraphs 5.1A and 5.3 of the SFC Code of Conduct. As part of their obligations under paragraph 5.3, intermediaries assessing whether to provide a client with services for virtual asset-related derivative products should be satisfied that the client has sufficient net worth to assume the risks and bear the potential loss of trading in the products, and understands the nature and risks of these products. For example, an intermediary which provides trading services in virtual asset futures contracts traded on one or more of the exchanges specified in Schedule 3 of the Securities and Futures Financial Resources Rules should ensure that the client understands that leveraged trading increases the client's exposure to the volatility of the underlying virtual assets. This is because relatively small market movements will have a proportionately larger impact on the margin depositors, and the amount the client may lose may be greater than the amount of the initial margin depositors. Intermediaries should also provide clients with warning statements, which can be a one-off disclosure specific to virtual asset futures contracts, examples of which are set out in Appendix 5 to the Joint Circular. The circular allows a limited category of virtual asset derivative products to be offered to retail investors in Hong Kong as an exception to the professionals only selling restriction. These are virtual asset related derivative products such as Bitcoin futures products that are traded on a specified exchange, and in the case of exchange traded virtual asset derivative funds, they must be authorized or approved for offering to retail investors by the respective regulator in one of the jurisdictions designated in Appendix 2 to the Joint Circular. The designated jurisdictions are Australia, France, Germany, Ireland, Luxembourg, Malaysia, the Netherlands, Switzerland, Taiwan, China, Thailand, the United Kingdom and the USA. The professionals only restriction is relaxed for these products because in the case of virtual asset futures contracts traded on a specified exchange, trading is governed by conventional rules, and so pricing transparency and potential market manipulation are considered to be less of a concern. This should also be true of a public futures-based virtual asset ETF authorized or approved by the regulator of a designated jurisdiction for retail offering, which is traded on a specified exchange. However, since these products are considered to be complex exchange-traded derivatives, under the existing complex product regime, where there has been no solicitation or recommendation, intermediaries can distribute them without complying with the suitability requirement, but must still comply with the requirements for derivative products under paragraphs 5.1A and 5.3 of the SFC's Code of Conduct. Intermediaries must also conduct a virtual asset knowledge test on investors investing in these products. Looking now at the requirements for intermediaries wanting to provide clients with virtual asset dealing services, the Joint Circular says firstly that many virtual asset trading platforms in Hong Kong and overseas are currently unregulated or regulated only for AML/CFT purposes. The SFC and HKMA are concerned that these platforms may be subject to lower standards of regulation than those applicable to SFC-licensed virtual asset trading platforms under the SFC's November 2019 position paper on regulation of virtual asset trading platforms. They give the example of platforms not being subject to regulations governing hot and cold wallet storage, insurance and private key management. In the event of hacks or fraud, investors stand to suffer significant losses. Where platforms are located overseas, investors may also face difficulties in recovering their assets or pursuing claims. In order to better protect investors, the joint circular requires intermediaries to partner only with SFC-licensed virtual asset trading platforms for the provision of virtual asset dealing services, either by introducing clients to the platforms for direct trading or establishing an omnibus account with the platform. The joint circular refers to SFC-licensed virtual asset trading platforms only in terms of platforms licensed by the SFC under the existing opt-in regime, under the SFO, which I mentioned earlier. I'd hope that once the new VASP licensing regime takes effect, intermediaries will also be allowed to partner with virtual asset exchanges licensed under the new regime, so that intermediaries would have more options to choose from. Only intermediaries licensed or registered for Type 1 regulated activity, that's dealing in securities, are allowed to provide virtual asset dealing services. They can provide these services only to professional investors who are existing clients to which they provide Type 1 services. These intermediaries are required to comply with all the applicable regulatory requirements, including relevant SFC codes, when providing dealing services in virtual assets, irrespective of whether or not the virtual assets concerned constitute securities. The SFC will impose conduct requirements on intermediaries providing virtual asset dealing services under an omnibus account arrangement as licensing or registration terms and conditions. One licensing or registration condition will require intermediaries to comply with the prescribed terms and conditions, which are set out in Appendix 6 to the Joint Circular. These align with the SFC's requirements for licensed virtual asset trading platforms under its November 2019 position paper to the extent that they relate to intermediaries' performance of the dealing function. For example, intermediaries are only allowed to execute a trade for a client if the client's account has sufficient fiat currencies or virtual assets to cover that trade, and are prohibited from offering any financial accommodation for their clients to obtain virtual assets. Under the terms and conditions, intermediaries can only allow clients to deposit and withdraw fiat currencies from their accounts and may not allow them to withdraw or transfer virtual assets at any time. This aims to minimize the risks associated with virtual asset transfers. According to an announcement in June 2022, Interactive Brokers Hong Kong will be the first intermediary in Hong Kong to provide virtual asset dealing services to its clients in partnership with an SFC-licensed virtual asset trading platform. It will partner with licensed virtual asset trading platform OSL Digital Securities and provide these services to its professional investor trading clients in Hong Kong through an omnibus account with the trading platform. Where a Type 1 licensed intermediary provides virtual asset dealing services as an introducing agent, clients of the intermediary will be onboarded by the SFC licensed platform, which will open trading accounts in the name of the respective clients who will trade directly through the platform. Intermediaries should enter into a written agreement with the SFC licensed platform setting out their respective obligations under the introducing arrangement. Type 1 licensed intermediaries acting as introducing agents should only introduce clients who are professional investors to the SFC licensed platform. Intermediaries are not allowed to relay orders on behalf of their clients to the platforms or hold any client assets, including fiat currencies and client virtual assets in relation to their introducing services. These requirements will be imposed on intermediaries as licensing or registration conditions, as set out in Appendix 6 to the Joint Circular. Additional requirements set out in the October 2019 pro forma terms and conditions for licensed corporations which manage portfolios that invest in virtual assets apply to licensed corporations providing virtual asset discretionary account management services where investment portfolios have a stated investment objective to invest in virtual assets or intend to invest more than 10% of their gross asset value in virtual assets. registered institutions intending to provide virtual asset discretionary account management services should notify the SFC and HKMA and will have to comply with the 2019 pro forma terms and conditions. Where a Type 1 licensed intermediary providing discretionary account management services is authorised by its clients to provide virtual asset dealing services on a discretionary basis as an ancillary service, the intermediary should only invest less than 10% of the GAV of the client's portfolio in virtual assets. Intermediaries providing virtual asset advisory services are required to comply with all the regulatory requirements imposed by the SFC and HKMA when providing advisory services, irrespective of whether or not the virtual assets involved are securities. Intermediaries can only provide virtual asset advisory services to professional investors who are their existing clients to which they provide services in Type 1 or Type 4 regulated activities. The expected conduct requirements for virtual asset advisory services are set out in the terms and conditions in Appendix 6 to the Joint Circular. In particular, intermediaries are required to comply with suitability obligations and must conduct a virtual asset knowledge test before providing virtual asset advisory services to clients, except where the client is an institutional professional investor or a qualified corporate professional investor as defined in the SFC Code of Conduct. If an intermediary provides advisory services in relation to virtual asset-related products, it should comply with the same requirements as apply to the distribution of virtual asset-related products and must ensure the suitability of its recommendations for the particular client. An intermediary intending to engage in virtual asset-related activities, including the distribution of virtual asset-related products and the provision of virtual asset dealing and/or advisory services, is required to notify the SFC and the HKMA, if applicable, in advance. The HKMA also issued a separate circular to authorised institutions providing guidance on their interaction with virtual assets and virtual asset service providers. In January 2022, the circular says that authorised institutions may interact with virtual assets and virtual asset service providers through proprietary investment or the provision of banking and investment services to customers, which potentially raise a range of risks for authorised institutions, including financial crime. Before engaging in any activities in relation to virtual assets, authorised institutions are expected to perform risk assessments to identify and understand the associated risks. They should also obtain feedback from the HKMA and SFC on the adequacy of their risk management controls before launching relevant products or services. The circular addresses three main areas: prudential supervision, AML, CFT, and financial crime risk and investor protection. From the prudential supervision perspective, the HKMA does not currently propose to prohibit authorised institutions from incurring financial exposure to virtual assets through investment lending against virtual assets as collateral or allowing their customers to use credit cards or other payment services to acquire virtual assets. This is on the basis that authorised institutions have implemented adequate risk management controls and ensured that these activities are subject to sufficient oversight by their senior management. Authorised institutions are expected to conduct proper due diligence on the virtual assets to which they are exposed. They are expected to understand the legal and financial structure and the technology behind the creation of the virtual assets, as well as the background of the parties involved in the operation of the virtual asset scheme, their risk management arrangements, and the provenance of any virtual assets that they acquire for investment. Based on the information obtained, authorised institutions should critically evaluate their exposure to different risk types and implement appropriate risk mitigation measures, such as setting prudent limits on the authorised institution's overall exposures to virtual assets and applying conservative loan-to-value ratios for virtual assets accepted as collateral. If residual risks remain, sufficient capital should be set aside having regard to prevailing capital requirements for virtual assets. With respect to AML-CFT and financial crime risk, the circular requires authorised institutions to put in place policies, procedures and controls to manage and mitigate money laundering and terrorist financing risks, which take into account guidance issued by the HKMA and the FATF. Authorised institutions are required to pay extra attention if they become aware of customers conducting activities related to virtual assets, for example, making frequent fund transfers to or from virtual asset platforms. When monitoring these customers, they should seek to understand the nature of the virtual asset-related transactions, and if there are grounds for suspicion, file suspicious transaction reports to the Joint Financial Intelligence Unit. When establishing and maintaining business relationships with VASPs, for example, opening bank accounts, authorised institutions should conduct money laundering and terrorist financing assessments on a risk-based approach. Depending on the nature of the relationship, authorised institutions may need to conduct additional customer due diligence similar to that for offering correspondent banking or similar services to financial institutions that enable the provision of products and services to the financial institution's own customers. Authorised institutions should also confirm with relevant VASPs that their operations do not breach any Hong Kong or overseas laws or regulations. Given that virtual asset-related products are very likely to be regarded as complex products, the circular also reminds authorised institutions to comply with the requirements of the HKMA-SFC Joint Circular on Intermediaries Virtual Asset-Related Activities. So that brings us pretty much to the end of this webinar. Thank you again for joining me today. As I mentioned, this is part two of a series of webinars on crypto regulation, and part three will continue the discussion of crypto regulation in Hong Kong, in particular the requirements for crypto exchanges. You're very welcome to join us, and you can find the link to register on our website, chantonslaw.com. For those who have already registered, look forward to seeing you at the next webinar. Goodbye and thank you.